Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday, August 29th. We still need to keep our prayers strong for Texas, for Houston, for the coastal cities in Texas. That's just the craziest thing, and it's still going on, so just keep it strong. I know with all of us, it will make a difference. It will help those people, and people are helping people, and every time these things happen, it brings out the best in us. And it's, I guess, the times, you know, when you think that things aren't so great and all of that, and then you realize how great they are and how many people are working in professions that allow them to go and to help selfishly and just make a biggest difference in the world in these people's lives. So keep that. I just, every time I see a little bit of that, I know we saw it when New Orleans had this before, and, you know, they rebuilt, and we've got to send a lot of people there. I mean, right now it's even, other than water rescuing, it's really difficult if people didn't leave their houses. So let's keep our prayers alive and keep them strong. And today, another thing that's going to involve our prayers is how to begin to heal your soul from past hurts, because we carry them, and they're like our little badge of honor somehow. Well, I was hurt by my parents. I was hurt by my boyfriend. I was hurt by my husband. I was hurt by my company. I was hurt by this person. That person did that to me. And we have like this list in our minds, especially when we get upset and we start saying, well, everything is like that. Well, everything does that. And we know better at some level that our whole life isn't doomed and that everything didn't take away from us. Because if we were to think back at everything that happened, a lot of the stuff that happened, we're actually really happy that it happened. And we're grateful that we came out of it the way we did. And then we realize that we wouldn't have come out of it and gotten stronger and learned that if it didn't happen. Now, you know, there's some things where people will be like, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I've had that in appointment after appointment. But the answers are nothing that you can even believe, because they're so simple that we heal from the truth of it. Now, if you don't get down to the bottom of the truth, and the other person, if you were to confront them, stands by something that actually doesn't make sense, but you want it to make sense, they want it to make sense, they will fight tooth and nail for what they're trying to tell you. And if you buy it and you're not clean inside about it, it's not going to make sense to you, even after you've talked for hours and hours and hours. And the reason you will talk hours and hours and hours about it is because the answer doesn't make sense. And then if you say, how could that be true? Then you're called, well, are you accusing me of lying? And then you got to go, well, no. But you have to really think about what we expect of other people, because that will help you take on what you can do, what your role is in helping people and letting people come alive, in the sense that when something happens, for you to talk about it. It's not like a business negotiation where both people have a contract and they know what they want and they have to come up with a bottom line. It's emotional negotiations. It's an emotional upset that can happen between two people, whether it's a child receiving from a parent orders that don't make sense, and then the child does them so the parent is okay, but nobody ever asks the child how they feel. That child will grow up and feel invisible, like they're not heard. First person who listens to them, they just jump into that relationship. It's the best thing that's ever happened to them because they weren't heard before. So when we have these kinds of circumstances, we start carrying them, and it starts bleeding out into who we accept into our lives, why we accept them into our lives, what happened to us. So I really thought about just relationships, any relationships. You know, before I saw Christ, I used to think of relationships as just boy-girl. I just thought everything else was, well, that's your family, well, that's your friend. It was all separated in my mind, because when people said relationships or when we were talking about relationships, they were always boyfriend-girlfriend type things, like, oh, you're in a relationship, oh, you know, that kind of thing. But since I saw Christ, over the years, when I say the word relationship, unless I'm literally talking about a specific kind of relationship, when Christ said love is love is love, it is just a relationship that is different. It's like the kind of just what it's called, whether it is a teacher and a child or a boss and a person working for them or however it works. Because even our bosses don't own the companies we work for most of the time. So our boss is an employee just like we're an employee. But yet, because they're ahead of us, we can have issues with them because we cannot tell them what to do, but they can actually tell us what to do. And when we're in positions like that, sometimes relationships take that on where the man wants to say it, whether it's true or not, and the woman's supposed to believe it, whether it's true or not. And then the man gets all frustrated trying to, you know, well, why does this even bother you? Well, because you took the time to not tell the truth in the moment, and you're trying to tell me it didn't matter and it didn't affect me. And I'm trying to say, but I'm standing here affected, so that's not true already. Well, I just think you're never going to get over it. And, you know, you just figure out what you're going to do. And I'm like, well, how did this become my problem? When you brought and introduced the problem, you snitched on yourself by forgetting that you hid that. So now you snitched on yourself. You're telling me it's my problem, and you're frustrated and you have nothing else to say. And then you start saying how important you are and how important I am to you. And so when you see that, you're like, well, wait a minute. So we have to ask these questions of how, once these things pile up, as you know people, how do I heal? How do I heal from that? What can you do to begin to heal? Because we put off healing, believe it or not, for lifetimes. Because we think that if we do look inside, we're going to see stuff we don't want to see or feel or hear. Because it's what brought about the insecurity that we're working so hard to overcome and try to forget instead of go back and heal. And then we feel helpless that not everything can be solved in life. And you know, the most beautiful thing about life is that everything can be solved. Everything can be solved. Our hardest feelings, but sometimes the solutions are what we don't know how to capture, how to own, how to be. So then we just try to forget it. We just try to say, well, it didn't matter. Well, it really didn't matter. I don't have to think about it. But if it stays there, it's staying there for a reason. Just never forget that. If your feelings will not budge, they just won't budge. They're not budging for a reason. They're telling you, you think you're done? You're not done yet. And then you say, but I am done. I really don't care about it. Oh, yes, you do. Because if you don't finish this, the next time something comes up, you're just going to pile it up on top of me and you're going to forget about me. So I need you to pay attention to me right now. And you're like, but it's too much trouble, too much talking, too much work. And you go to the other person and they may engage you for a while. Whether you're going to your parents to say, hey, you know what, this and this and this has happened to me. Hey, you know what, this and this and this happened because of you to my life. And then people get defensive. But there's like almost no good way to say it. They give us all these ways to say it, but then the other person realizes you just learned that way to say it. But yet the art of negotiation, the art of speaking from a positional place, of separating the person from the problem, instead of saying, you did this to me, as a result of what happened, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. And the other person can say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I understand, but I feel this way as a result of the actions that happened between us. Would you mind talking about it with me? And sometimes people are like, oh, they're scared now. They don't want to jump in. But they may agree with you. And then you can say, when you did this, from what perspective did you come to me with this behavior? And can you imagine a child if they had this information? Mom, why do you keep telling me that I'm worthless? Actually, it was even worse. It was a worthless piece of blank. And she says it all the time to her children. All the time. And her children are now asking others, telling others, you know, this is how my mom talks to me. And when we're home with my mom, she's always on the phone or texting. And we, the children, are just left to kind of fend for ourselves pretty much all the time, even in terms of getting meals. We just go grab something from the fridge. And when we need her time or we start fighting to get her attention, she starts calling us worthless just because we've interrupted her. This is a 13-year-old talking. So this 13-year-old feels left out of her own life because she is left out of her mother's life in her mind. They went to counseling. Counselor told mom this is the case a year ago. Comes home, oh, okay, well, that's all that's wrong with Sienna. Well, you know, that's the way she is. Well, okay, but now what happens? How do we take care of this little soul? So now other people, because it's a child, are teaching her and as well going to bat with her to just open up the awareness of the mother who's not a bad person. Great person, you meet her, you love her. It just doesn't understand that because a child is a child, it doesn't mean that they don't get what's going on. And they don't have feelings. If anything, their feelings are more raw. So the healing process for this young child is coming up from accounting for what we know to be true. Okay, these two children, now there's two, the two kids, and these two children, they're banding together. So now they've learned the power of two. Now they're learning how to define an issue. Now they're learning how to confront somebody that they feel scared to confront to the level of their pain. And now they're learning how resolution has a possibility of helping them. And now they're learning how to make things look for a future decision, for a future life, based on a decision they're going to make now. So I'm getting in the car and I'm sitting there and I am like, wow, Christ, all that stuff these kids get to learn at such an early age. Imagine what great problem solvers they're going to be. And I really thought about that. And Christ said, they're learning in safety. And I realized that all the way we are taught through our parents is lessons for us to learn in safety. So when we go out into the world, we have these skills. What homes are, and the reason why parents are great, kids are great, everybody loves the family, and then you go in and you jump into the family and you realize there's all these crazy dynamics, and this is going on and that's going on, and you feel sorry for the kids, the dog, whoever's around and whatever. But they're their own civilization of a learning tree in safety. They're not going to throw each other out. They're not going to create problems. The problems that arise in the family are arising just from the deficiencies and what people came to learn through each other. And when we're younger, because our feelings are so raw, it's a hotbed for that. When I work with people who go back to their childhoods because that's where they got stuck, that is my most pleasurable work. Because when we go back, we have to know that whatever happened then happened to teach us. And if we miss the lesson, and we are having an issue with it today because we just didn't address it. We didn't feel strong enough. We may not have talked to somebody about it. We may not have seen it as in that perspective. But once we do, we can never not see that again. And we stop blaming our parents who didn't even know that that's how they did it to us. And we grew up with it because that's how we took it. And they're going on saying to you, well, what's wrong? What's so wrong? What's so bad? I mean, I've heard parents just totally not know. And I get how they don't know. Because nothing was ever said to them. And in the scheme of everything that happens, that was a really tiny little thing to them. And parents who tell their kids, you're worthless and you're not worthless, useless, to quote, when that's being said to a human being, this child became tougher saying and fighting back, no, I'm not, stop saying that. That's not okay to say to me. When it was brought to my attention, I asked the child, do you love your mom? Do you feel like you love your mom? Yes, I do. Do you realize that you're a lot like your mom? Yes, I do. And I understand she doesn't mean these things. So the child learned how to protect. But when you have a child, they're so smart and they are more in tune to the details than we are because that's the only big thing they've got in their life right now. Other than school and friends, which is big in itself, but with adults. So I ask Christ the question, how do we start to heal? How do we start to heal? And he gave me 7 things. And he said, just account for what you know to be true. Literally spell out, write out, record yourself talking out the entire incident from beginning to this present moment in your life with it. Account for your role as a child. What did I do to bring that out of my parents? Because a lot of times, what I found out over time is that we will remember our parents' reaction to us, but we will not remember what we did first. A lot of people will say, I forgot what I did, but boy, when they came at me, this is what happened. And a lot of times the result of what they did stunned them so much that they literally over time didn't even realize that they had a role in it. And we're kids. We don't even know what our role is yet. We're just haphazardly doing things. And this is how we grow. So I look at these things as celebrations that we're even talking about it. And I feel honored to help a child in that position. that's going through it right now, lifetime. Because does it mean the people are bad? No. Does it mean you blame the parents? No. Does it mean you blame the kids? No. It means we find a solution. It means we find a way to work together. It is not the argument that is the issue. It is the recovery is the reason we are there. Whatever it is just a tool to get you there. So when you account for your own role in it, okay, well, what did I do to contribute to everything I just said that I believe is true? Number three, accept that you did your best in that moment, whatever that was, even if it was a pile of anger that pulled out of you and started screaming it at somebody else, a parent or a sibling or a father, one of the parents, that in that moment you were fit to be tied and you did not know what else to do other than to scream as you did. That was your best. Because when you can see that, then you can see the whole you, not just part of you, but the whole you in the picture. You see your contribution, you see the reaction to your contribution, so that when you can see that, now you can say to yourself, hey, you know what? I need to look closely at these things, because if I just blame people, I've missed half the picture. Half the money still left on the table and nobody knows it's there. It's not even claimed yet. At all. So once you can know and believe that you did your best in that moment, that that was the best you had, accept, that's, and this is number four, accept that that is your point of view. And you simply did not understand the actions of the other soul. That, wow, that's my point of view. That's how I see it. But how did the other person see it? Number five. You have to walk through the other person's shoes. It is the only way you can begin to heal. Because if you just look at what they did to you and you don't look at why they reacted that way, you have shortchanged the entire lesson. You've shortchanged the entire lesson. And that's the part that's always missing when people are carrying that hurt around. All they remember is what they did and how they felt. But they did not walk through the other person's shoes. And when we don't do that, we don't complete the cycle of learning, of healing. So once you do that, and you want to understand the other soul, and then you walk through the other person's shoes. You literally take yourself as to how would you react to someone who came into you that way. So number six, talk to God about it out loud. I love when like Christ can give me that kind of instruction, because there's a difference between out loud and in your head. Out loud means that you are actually making an effort, but you can also hear yourself. And when you can hear yourself, you can gain a sense of objectivity over the situation. Well, this is what happened. This is my role in it. I accept that I did my best. I accept that that is their point of view and that you simply do not understand it. I accept that I walked through this situation in the other person's shoes. And now, God, I'm saying, you can see their side and you can see my side. Help me work on this. And then number seven is to take yourself to a plan to proceed. Now that I know this, how do I go forward? Okay, I will pay more attention to how I behave in these situations. I will pay attention to just screaming out things without really realizing the whole story. When I am upset and I know that I can't stop myself from doing what I did this time, instead of lashing out, I will walk away until I can come back and discuss. If I see something that's really crazy and I do scream and I do shout and I do accuse and it does happen, then I will end that moment, say, you know what? I know that was a lot to throw on you. I think we should talk about this later. And if the other person wants to talk about it now, ask them, do you think that we are both in the right frame of mind to do that? Can we give ourselves 10 minutes and come back? Those 10 minutes will make a difference for both of you. It will take you from a hurting situation to a healing situation when we're in the moment. When we're in the moment. Sometimes when somebody wants something from somebody else, the minute somebody wants something from somebody else and they don't disclose what they want or they don't know what they want, they keep attacking that person until they get what they feel they needed. Sometimes it happens with strangers or people who know each other. And, you know, you tell each other and you say nice things to each other, but one person gets obsessed with the other. And they keep going after that person because they actually want that person. But they don't know what they want from them. They just want them, but they don't know how they want them. They want something from them. And you can't give that to them. That's an argument you don't even know how to have. So you have to acknowledge that I can only go so far in my argument, in my negotiations, in my participation, because I don't know what to do after this point, because you can't see how you are going to proceed once you know what you know. That's as honest as we could be, because all of that honesty that gets weaved into what we're doing is what is healing. That's what's healing. Knowing that self-accounting, it's the base of all love, all truth, all purity, all healing, all of us understanding how we can get together. When we need to talk about something, when we need to face something. It's not easy. Some people, and I know couples who have to do this, it takes them 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different conversations, 10 days of their lives to talk about one issue. One of them just tries to stand by what doesn't make sense, and the other one tries to make sense of what doesn't make sense. It is an amazing, crazy thing to watch, but it works for them. It works for them. And because it works for them, they are able to heal through it. But those seven steps of healing, those are almost like the five steps of grieving. They're just in stone. If you can do that and you can understand other people to that level, you can help them as long as they're mentally fit. We got 10 seconds, you guys. We have Relationship Wednesday tomorrow. So I will see you then. I love you very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.